Well, let's go jump right into session 9. We're looking at now the beauty of God in our resurrected body. Sessions ahead, we're going to be looking at the beauty of God in creation, the created order. It's magnificent. And then the creation, beauty of God in his leadership and the way that he inspires and leads people. But tonight, we're going to be looking at we looked at the city. Now we look at the beauty of the resurrected body. The resurrected body is amazing. It is stunning in its abilities and its beauty and his visual as well as its relational and spiritual abilities as well. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to give my people beauty. Now there's 12 different descriptions that Isaiah gives of the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news, release captives. But this idea of to give beauty to people is an issue that is often overlooked. And just in your relationship with the Lord and your ministry, you don't want to let that one go. You know, we want to set captives free. We want to preach to the poor. We want to heal the brokenhearted. But we want to lock into imparting beauty. We want to be in the beauty business, to study it, to help people connect to it, to help people believe for it, that kind of thing. So the very beauty that God possesses is the very beauty he imparts. Now that beauty starts in this age, and it's internal, mostly it's internal, meekness and humility. But the Lord says, that's beautiful to me, and it's real. It's not just something that's poetic. The beauty is real to me even now, even though we don't esteem it like he does, but it is beautiful to him. Psalm 90, Moses prayed in Psalm 90, and he said, may the beauty of the Lord be upon us. And I believe that's the imparted beauty of love in our character, and anointed, illumined wisdom, illumined understanding. But I believe it's the beauty of the resurrected body as well as included in this. David said, Psalm 149, the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he beautifies the humble, the people that say yes to him. And part of that beauty is the resurrected body as well. Paragraph B, the good news, Jesus died for us, and he rose from the dead. And everyone that believes in him, he's going to raise them from the dead and give them a body similar to his. The resurrection of Jesus makes a way for us to be with him forever, but to enjoy and possess his beauty forever. Because we have a resurrected body, we're going to be in the city enjoying his beauty, but we're going to possess the beauty as well in our body forever. Paragraph D, at the rapture, when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, the dead in Christ, that means all believers in the past, they'll get a resurrected body. Verse 17, then the people that are alive, they're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And that word caught up is where we get the word rapture. The Latin word is the word rapture, or the word that we use for rapture. And to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to be with him always. But here's the part I want you to get. We're going to be caught up together. All of us together with him forever. That's the part I wanted to emphasize here. And that's part of the beauty of the Lord, is that it's not just we're individually possess it, we possess it together forever. So it's not like you are going to get touched, but the people you love the most are going to be there with you if they've said yes to his leadership and to his grace. Paragraph E. Peter talks about humility, the hidden person of the heart, the person you can't see with your natural eye, but there's humility that's worked in them by the Holy Spirit. Peter said, you may not know this, but that is beautiful to God. He said, it's very precious to God. So the beauty actually starts now. It's not just something that's down the road when you get a resurrected body, but it's an incorruptible beauty, meaning it's a beauty that will never diminish. So it starts with love and humility and revelatory understanding and illumined understanding, meaning we have understanding of the scripture. That beautifies our mind. Now, we don't think of it. We think, well, it's kind of cool to understand things a little bit more than we used to. But to the Lord, that's beautiful to him. And the part I wanted you to catch here, it's incorruptible, it's never diminishing. But when that heart joins with the perfect, beautified body, that's when beauty in your life is brought to fullness. So your internal beauty is joined with your external beauty, and then you're put into a beautiful city serving a beautiful king. Everything is beautiful around you, and the Lord will say, yes, the beauty that I possess, I gave beauty for ashes. They offered me the broken ash heap of their life. Their life was spent on all the wrong passions. They burned themselves out. They have nothing but ashes, and I'm going to give them beauty. I'm going to give them internal beauty. I'm going to give them external beauty. I'm going to give them a beautiful environment, a beautiful dwelling place in a beautiful city forever. And I look at this, I go, Lord, you're just awesome. I love your commitment to beauty and your value of it. Paragraph F. Philippians 3 tells us that we're going to have a body conformed to his. So when we understand his resurrected body, it gives us insight into our resurrected body. Now, he'll have the highest capacities of anybody. So, you know, there's many different capacities that we'll have in the resurrection. But, you know, if there's a scale of 1 to 100, he has 100 of all of them. That doesn't mean everybody will have the full capacity that the Lord has in every one of those competencies and abilities, because we'll all have varying degrees and varying abilities in our resurrected body, but we will have corresponding characters, capacities to that are represented here in Philippians chapter 3. Okay, look at 1 John chapter 3. We will be like him. And in other words, our body will be like him. Our mind will be like him. Our heart capacities will be like him. The Father custom designed Jesus's body. I say that kind of quote unquote. He gave Jesus the best design possible. And then he says, I'm going to make everyone like him now. They're going to be like him in their spirit. They're going to be like them in their soul, their mind, emotion, will. They're going to be like Jesus in their body. They're going to be like him in every way. That is such an amazing reality. 1 John 3, look at it. It says, everyone who has this hope, if you can lock into this with confidence, this will purify you in this age. If I know for sure I'm going to have a body like Jesus, a mind like Jesus, live in the city with him, live with glorified people, if I know it's just a matter of time I'm going to be there, it's worth saying yes to the Lord and everything. I mean, when we see the celestial city and the glory, it's a much easier to let go of our plastic little trophies down here on the earth when we see that city where we're going. It's really hard to let go of things down here if you don't see where you're going. And so what John says here, if you grasp, you're going to be like him in your emotions, in your thinking, in your body, in your environment, in the city, in your fellowship. If you get that, you'll let go of anything to be on that journey. It will purify you. It will empower you to loosen your grip on many things that held you tight in days past. Top of page 2. Well, what was Jesus' body like? His body, one thing, it had a radiance. Jesus' body, Revelation 1, his face was shining like the sun in its strength. So not that every believer will have that intensity of glory, but every believer will have some comparable dimension of that. Again, Jesus has the highest capacities in every one of these different abilities and competencies. It says in Matthew 17, his face was shone like the sun. So we know that when you, different people will have a glory of God in their face, some more than others, but everybody will have the glory of God in their countenance to one degree or another. And the difference will be according to their obedience here on the earth. The scripture makes it real clear that our resurrected bodies will be impacted by our obedience in this age. We don't earn it, but the Lord says, if you've agreed with me in this age, I'm going to show you how I feel about the way you loved me in this age. I'm going to actually cause it to be expressed in you in the age to come. Your garments, your crowns, your dwelling place. You're going to actually wear your love for him by the garments he gives you. You'll all have different types of garments. You know, it's like I taught on the eternal rewards class recently, and I like to say this. A lot of folks think they get everyone gets the standard white T-shirt gown, and that's the only thing they wear for billions of years. Like we have this elaborate, glorious city, and Jesus forgot the clothing thing. You know, everything else is amazing, but everybody else has a white T-shirt. It's a nice one. It's clean, but that's all they have for billions of years. Like, oh, I forgot dress code. Oh, my goodness. No, there will be so many social and many different settings and environments for clothing. And anyway, I'm getting on to eternal rewards. I'll get back to here. Okay, paragraph H. Paragraph H. The Lord clothes himself with majesty, Psalm 104. He clothes himself with light as a garment. So Jesus has garments of light and many colors, undoubtedly, many dimensions. We can only guess, but we can't even get close to the majesty of what the reality is. But the idea is that angels have garments with light, with radiance in them. And if angels do, and the Lord does, surely the saints will as well, because they will be like the Lord in the resurrection. Okay, paragraph I, it says it here now clearly in Daniel 12, says the people that choose wisdom, they will shine bright. They will have a brightness in the resurrection related to their wisdom in this age. It really does matter. And again, it's not an earning thing. It's an issue of there's continuity. It's that if we agree with him, it's the rich get richer. You agree with him, then you have the ability to agree more with him. Then you have the ability to agree more with him. Then you have a greater ability to agree more with him. And it gets brighter and brighter, and it goes on that way forever and ever. Even in the resurrection, I believe you will gain more and more understanding and more glory, just even as the ages unfold. Jesus himself said it in Matthew 13, that the righteous would shine forth. I mean, he's the one that shines like the sun, and Jesus' own lips, he goes, but so will you guys. You'll have that kind of radiance in your resurrected body. Paragraph J. Now, here's a point that needs to be made about the resurrection. The resurrection speaks of transforming the same body that died. You say, what? What are you talking about? Some people have this idea that they die, and then Jesus gives them a whole new identity, their spiritual identity is in him. But they get a whole new everything, and it's not really them anymore. The very you that dies is the one that will be resurrected. You'll have the same DNA. You'll have the same ethnicity. You'll have the same gender. You'll have the same personality. You'll have the same looks, but everything brought to full glory. But it will really be you. Jesus is a Jewish man forever. If you're Asian, you will be Asian forever. If you're whatever nationality you are, you will be forever. You will have the same personality, but with all of the little foibles, translate that foibles, all the little bad things are gone. All the deficiencies and all the blind spots are gone, but the personality you have will be brought to fullness. You will recognize each other and really remember each other's personalities. It will really be you that is resurrected. It won't be like, well, you know, we lost old brother Bill, and here we'll just use Bill's name, but it's not really Bill. No, it's really Bill. It's really him in full perfection. I know some of you are almost there, but some of us, we're going to need this thing. Okay, paragraph K. I want the full, Lord, I need some help here, okay. Paragraph K, Paul talks about 1 Corinthians 15. He identifies five qualities, and I want you to catch the beauty of these. Because, I mean, you long for beauty. The reason you long for beauty is because God, the beautiful God, created you with a longing for beauty. Everybody longs for beauty. Now, guys don't like to use the word beauty. They always say, oh, that won't be cool. But they mean beautiful. That's really what they mean at the core. Because the beautiful God created you with a hunger for beauty, because he's going to impart it in you and through you forever. He wants you to find delight in it. Now the trap is the enemy exploits that longing in this age with all kinds of distortions on it so that we find our identity in natural beauty here and we sell ourselves into it in many harmful ways that we go down certain paths many people do in the pursuit of beauty. And the Lord says, no, I really gave you the hunger for beauty. I want you to have beauty, but I want you to have it on my terms, in my way, in my timing. Let me unfold it. I'm really into beauty. I really want you to be beautiful. And I created you for beauty forever. You'll be beautiful forever, forever, forever. And so the Lord's for natural beauty now, but that's not his top priority. But when that becomes a person's top priority, they become vulnerable to many other snares of the enemy. There's so many snares if physical beauty in this age is a person's top priority. But it is a virtue and a blessing of the Lord, but it's a down payment of what everybody will have in the age to come. He says this in verse 42, the body is sown in corruption, but it will be raised incorruption. So the body is sown, where it's going to be raised with strength and vitality. It's sown with sickness and decay. It goes to the grave in corruption, sickness and decay, but it comes out of the grave with vitality and strength. It says it's going to be sown. It's sown. Sown means goes to the grave. It's sown into the ground like a seed. It's planted in the grave at their death in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. That purity and honor are going to replace failure and shame and dishonor. It's sown, our body goes to the grave in weakness, but it's going to be raised in power, safety, prosperity. Is going to replace all the vulnerabilities and pains and injustices of life. It's sown into the body, into the grave, purely a natural body that decays. It will be raised a spiritual body with supernatural capacities. It is sown as a mortal body that has an ending and a time limitation, but it's raised immortal, unending life, unending love. Supernatural abilities is how this is raised. In paragraph L, the one truth that affects all of these five areas is said in Revelation 21. Every tear is going to be wiped away. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. So in all of these areas of our body is going to be incorruptible, glory, power. It's going to have a spiritual body, immortality. Overarching in all of that, there'll be no tears, no sadness, no pain. All of those are gone forever and forever and forever. Paragraph M here, bottom of page 2. We will live, just to kind of summarize it, in a material, physical, resurrected body. Your body will be physical. You will have an elbow. You won't just be a spirit. It won't like, you know, I'll come give you a hug and just kind of pass through you. Oops, you know, let's try it again. Oops, go slower next time. You know, no, you'll have bones. You'll have an elbow. You'll have not just a spirit. You'll have flesh. It won't be corruptible flesh. It will be immortal, supernatural flesh, but you will have flesh, flesh that cannot be hurt. But you will have a supernatural flesh just like Jesus has. You will have, live on a material earth. I mean, you'll live in the New Jerusalem, which will be a real garden and real streets and real gold, real physicality in the New Jerusalem, but you'll also work and reign on a physical material earth. This earth, someone's going to be serving in Grandview in the age to come. Someone's going to serve in every little rural part of the earth. The earth and the saints are going to be involved all over the earth. So you're going to eat real food. You're going to have real drink. You're going to really grow in knowledge. It's not like when at the resurrection, you step over the line in the resurrection and you get a new chip of omniscience. You know everything. You only know what you knew the minute before you died. That's all you know. And then you learn it line by line. Your memory is much better. Your capacity is much better. But you still learn it line by line. You meet new people. You will introduce your new friends to your old friends. You will learn and have experiences together. You will have a deep sense of purpose. You won't just be playing a guitar on a cloud, floating, you will be enriching the earth and changing people's lives forever and forever. You will be enriching lives forever and ever and ever. So the Lord, he gave us hunger, because even in the resurrection, someone asked, will we eat food, but we don't really need food? I think we will have hunger and thirst, but we will never lack it. I think we will long for purpose and work, but it will be work without toil. So it will be hunger, but with no lack. It will be thirst, but with no lack. I mean, it's pleasurable to answer thirst and hunger. It's pleasurable to work, but it's the turmoil and the frustration we don't like. It's not the work itself. And I mean, our life is going to be beautiful in every capacity because of the way that God designed it. I mean, the whole storyline is a beauty narrative. It really, really is. What you look like, what you do, what's developed in you, who you'll be with, what you're accomplishing. It has beauty, A to Z of everything that we touch. Top of page 3. Well, let's look just a moment at Jesus' glorified body, because you're going to have a glorified body like he does. So we look at a few little cameo snapshots. You know, we only get a few of them, but it's like the Holy Spirit says, I gave you some snapshots of what it's like. Now you just apply it to yourself and to the saints, and you search out the scripture and add little points here and there, because there's little hints throughout the scripture that even add to these little cameo shots here. Paragraph A, Jesus could veil his glory, meaning he could hide it, or he could unveil it, or he could do it partly. Like he could show up and they didn't even know who he was. They thought he was a normal guy. Then when he stands before John the Apostle in Revelation 1, he's unveiled, John shaking like a dead man. Who are you? I'm Jesus. I'm your friend. Like, you know, turn the volts down a little bit. I'm just John. He can turn it up or turn it down anytime he wants. At times, Jesus was not recognized. He could appear. He could suddenly appear. And my point of saying this, I think that even in the resurrection, those same abilities will be with the saints. I think there'll be times where you'll be interacting with people where the glory is greater and the glory is lesser. Every situation will be different. Verse 15, while they conversed, this is the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Emmaus is only 7 miles from Jerusalem. They're walking back after the resurrection. They're walking back. They're on their way to Emmaus, and there Jesus meets these two disciples on the road. It says, verse 16, their eyes were restrained. They don't even know they're talking to Jesus. He looks like a normal Jewish man walking down the road. Then he vanished from their sight. They go, where did he go? Verse 33, they turn back to, these two guys go back to Jerusalem and said, man, we got to tell all the apostles all that we saw. Man, we saw the Christ, and he talked to us, and our eyes were opened, and then he vanished. In verse 36, right when these two disciples, they went back to Jerusalem to give the report, Jesus walks through the wall and says, hi, guys, I'm here again. You know, and these guys go, that's the guy that was with us. Oh, my goodness. So Jesus could move, geographically and go through walls and, you know, just, but he still had a physical body with bones and flesh. That's the supernatural abilities. Paragraph B. Here we are. We're still in the same conversation. We're still in Luke 24. He's in the room now with those two disciples and the apostles. And Jesus is looking at them. He says, why are you guys so troubled? They're looking at Jesus going, oh, my goodness. Their jaws are dropped. He goes, why are you doubting? Guys, I told you. It's me. I've appeared to you. I've appeared to several people. Here I am. And they're going, this can't be happening. He says, look at my hands and feet. I like this verse in the middle of verse 39. He goes, touch me, handle me, put your hands on me. Here. He goes, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. He goes, I have an elbow. I have flesh. Touch my flesh. He says, verse 41, it goes, okay. And they're like, you know, they're looking at each other going, no, you touch him. No, no, you touch him. No, you first. You're the leader. No, you touch him. So you kind of, you know, work up their life. Jesus, we love you. You know, I just can't imagine what that was like. Then he looks around, verse 41. He goes, okay, let's just settle this. Is there any food here? They go, wait, you died. Food? He goes, yeah. So they gave him fish. So they gave him some of the fish. He ate it. Then later he walked through the wall. You know, Alan Hood always says, did the fish go through the wall with him? I said, Alan, you're going to have to ask the Lord. They gave the story, Acts 10. Peter's giving the story a couple years later. He says, God raised him from the dead. He showed him openly. Even to us, he ate and drank with us after he had a resurrected body. Peter couldn't get over this. He's telling Cornelius, he goes, he ate and drank with us. He says, that's remarkable. That's the part that stuck out the most to Peter, one of the, besides the fact he rose from the dead. Okay, paragraph C. Jesus told them before he died, he goes, I want to eat Passover with you. He meant in the resurrection, on the other side. He goes, matter of fact, I'm not going to eat Passover till I eat it with you. And they're thinking, I thought you said you were going to die. I am. Well, then when are you going to eat with us? Well, after you guys die. After we die, everyone's going to get raised from the dead and we're going to eat together. Verse 18, he goes, I'm not going to drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes. Then let's talk about the second coming. He goes, I'm going to bestow upon you a kingdom and you're going to eat and drink with me at my table. Talking about the second coming, resurrected bodies, they all come back to the earth. Because right now the saints in heaven are not eating and drinking. They don't have a physical body in heaven right now. Because when they die, their physical body goes into the grave and their spirit goes to the Lord. They don't have a physical body. And one reason why, they don't need a physical body to relate to the environment in heaven right now. But heaven is coming down to the earth and they're going to be relating to the physical world. They will have to have a resurrected body. So when Jesus returns, that's when all the dead saints get a resurrected body the same day. Then the rapture happens. Everyone together gets a physical body at the time of the second coming. Because from that time on, they will need a physical body to relate to the physical world. That's why he's telling them, we won't eat and drink until then. We won't need to until then. Top of page 4. Our 5 senses will be enhanced. Sight. Now, and you could just fill in the blanks in all this. I just give you a line or two to kind of get you going. Think with supernatural vision. See, how far will you be able to see? And how close will you be able to see? Like a microscope and a telescope. I mean, what abilities will you have? Because right now you can look down, you can see. You know, if you got real good eyes, you might see 6 font or 4 font if you got good eyes. What if you have the ability to see 1,000th of font because you got resurrected eyes? What if there's a telescope and a microscope element that I don't know? But I know that our eyes will be enhanced. Hearing. You'll be able to hear at great distances with great perception. I had put the word balance here because something about the ears and balance are connected together. There's many dimensions to all these. I'm just throwing out a few to get you going here. Taste, the enjoyment of food and water. Can you imagine all the food that you eat and the water? And I think you will truly be hungry. I think you will need to eat, but there will never be lack. But all the food that you eat will invigorate you, and it will inspire you to love and strength, and it will have pleasure in it. Touch. There'll be glorified physical sense, feeling the glory of God. Smell. You know, fragrance stirs remembrance in a very powerful way. When there are certain fragrances that identify to a person or a situation that you can smell that fragrance and you're right there in 1 second. The same with music. Fragrance and music stir memory in a very, very specific way. Paragraph G, you'll possess supernatural abilities to think. You'll learn at a remarkable rate. You'll grow in understanding, the ability to grasp it, the ability to remember it. I mean, can you imagine how big your hard drive is? And what I mean by that, I'm doing that little, in a strange way, your memory. Right now, when you are in the resurrection, let's say you live to be 100, with a resurrected mind, you will recall so many things about your 100 years life, but through the blood of Jesus, everything that's painful and negative will not dwell on it. It won't be in our mind. It won't involve, it will not impact us at all in a negative way. Somebody says, well, will sin be forgotten? Well, sin will be forgotten in terms of having a consequence in our life. Meaning King David sinned, it's in the Bible. Peter sinned, it's in the Bible. That part of the Bible isn't going to be cut out when Peter's in heaven. It's not like there's three verses that are cut out of his Bible. Peter goes, oops, it's in the Bible. But the sin will never, ever impact, it have no consequence. It will never be in the relationship or in the conversation of Peter's life in any way. But the idea that, so I will have no remembrance, meaning remembrance unto any kind of consequence at all. But the sins that are in the Bible don't disappear, but they will not affect us at anything. So we will have an incredible memory, but we won't, dark thoughts will not dominate or grab a hold of our mind at all. We will remember our failure in the sense it creates gratitude. That will, gratitude and love. We won't remember failure with pain. But think about this. So you live 100 years. I'm guessing, I can't prove this, but I'm guessing with a resurrected mind, you will recall conversations that when you were 4 years old that you couldn't even think of now, but you'll have recall of them. You know, some of the different sciences say that the brain has a memory power right now that's so far beyond what we're accessing. I mean, I don't know how true all that is. My guess is there's truth in all that. Okay, but let's say now it's 100 years later. But now 1,000 years later, because you're going to live forever, how much memory do you have in 1,000 years? How much memory do you have in 1,000,000 years? Because you don't forget any of it. How much memory in 1,000,000,000 years? Do you realize how vast your mind is? I mean, think of how big your hard drive is, so to speak, in the resurrection. You will have a memory to learn for billions of years that will be staggering to us. The ability of the human mind in the resurrection is beyond anything we can fathom. I mean, I have no idea where all that's going. Our health, we'll have no fatigue. We'll have no lack of energy, no sickness or death. Our strength will be expressed. The speed, endurance, lifting objects, flexibility, all of those kinds of things. The material realm. Modes of travel, passing through walls, you know, going from the New Jerusalem to your assignment, wherever it's at in the earth. Communicate, to sing, to speak, to write, to play instruments, to communication skills, to communicate your thinking in a way that's clear and deep, to fully comprehend other people when they're talking. All of these things are part of the beauty of the resurrected body. Paragraph H, Paul he makes it clear that our relationships in this age are part of the glory we have in the age to come. That we will remember our relationships. We will remember each other in the age to come. Remember our conversations. We'll remember things we did and said, and we will have joy in the remembrance of our relationship from this age. I mean, just the people you blessed a little bit, you know, 10 years ago that you forgot, you will recall that with them. Paragraph I, Paul says, as one star differs from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection. You know, there's 100 billion stars, 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. 100 billion is what some astronomers are estimating, 100 billion. Every single star is different. Not one star has the same mass, radiance, speed, you know, makeup. They're, every single one is different. The different glory of every star, Paul says, the same with the resurrection from the dead. Every believer will have similar capacities, but very different range and capabilities with, or different level of capacities within them. And he's talking, it's not how educated you are in this age, it's how you say yes to the Lord. I mean, it really matters that we say yes to the Lord. Because I like to say eternal rewards are the Lord letting us, expressing how he feels about the way we loved him in this age. Eternal rewards is not earning anything. It's the Lord saying, you loved me when you were alone and everyone was against you and no one appreciated you, but you said yes to me. And when you failed and failed and failed, you got up and signed up and jumped back in because you loved me. He goes, that moves me that you didn't quit. And that will be reflected in our resurrected body. But the resurrected body, all of these are expressions of the beauty of the Lord imparted. I will give beauty for ashes. I will give beauty for ashes. Paragraph J, Jesus was talking about, he says, they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. And it's talking about the core identity of believers. We're all sons of the resurrection. And Jesus is using the word sons there because the word sons was often interchangeable with the word heir. You're all heirs of the resurrection. It's like women are sons of God and men are the bride of Christ. It's not about gender. It's about a privilege, a position of privilege before the Lord. But our core identity, part of our core identity, we are sons of the resurrection. That's who we are. That's why we don't want to get stuck over in bitterness and compromise and immorality and drunkenness. No, we're sons of the resurrection. We got a whole different trajectory in the beauty of God. This is who we are. This is what we do. Paragraph K, Hebrews 6 says, if you have this hope, it's an anchor. It's an anchor. You know what an anchor does? An anchor in the boat, when the storms are coming and the boat's getting tossed, the anchor steadies it. All the storms, disappointment, pain, rejection, setbacks. It didn't go the way I wanted. I'm in pain. It's hurting. No one's helping me. You got an anchor. You know you're destined for the resurrection. That's the anchor. All the storms are blowing. You're confused. I don't know what's right. I don't know if I can do it anymore. You got an anchor, and the ship's moving, but it's got an anchor holding it steady. The anchor is you know you're sons of the resurrection, and you know you have this whole future realm of beauty. Some of it's working in you now, though we don't see it like God does. God sees our growth in wisdom and meekness as precious and beautiful. That's a beauty he sees now that we go, oh, whatever, I don't really see it. The Lord says, I do, and believe me, I'm going to show it to you when we go face to face. We'll end with this. Paul says this. This is in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is the great resurrection, the resurrected body chapter. At the very end of the teaching on the resurrection, he goes, okay, verse 58, therefore, after I've taught you all about the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, be steadfast, be unmovable. When the disappointment and the pain, even the failure comes, don't quit when you fail. Be unmovable, abound in the work of the Lord. Whether they appreciate you, pat you on the back, if they acknowledge you or don't acknowledge you, be abounding in the work of the Lord. And I've talked to so many people over the years. They go, oh, you know, I was in that one church in one ministry. No one ever paid attention to me. I go, you know what? It's going to be that way always. I've been in ministry over 40 years. I run into that all the time, that what I'm doing is not understood and appreciated and it's devalued and written, blah, 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 blah. I go, so what? I go, so what? The Lord sees it. It matters to him. Do it for him. And if some people like it, that's cool. If they don't like it, it still counts. Keep doing it. Abound in the work of the Lord. Don't take your signals from who's smiling at you and who's patting you on the back. Just keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep moving forward. Knowing that your labor is not in vain. Even though people might not appreciate it, it may not impact anybody. And from what you can see, the Lord says, you're not wasting your time. Stay unmovable, steadfast. Keep working hard. Don't measure it. It's not wasted. Stay steady in the Lord. Amen and amen. That's the beauty of your body and your life and your story. It's wonderful. Let's stand before the Lord. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we love your word. We love who you are. Lord, we just declare we're sons of the resurrection. This is our anchor. This is our anchor. We're sons of the resurrection. This is my destiny. This is where I'm going. My beauty in fullness is sure forever. It cannot be stopped. And I say yes and amen and thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. I'm just going to end with that.